Thank you, everyone, for bearing with us for a moment. As I mentioned earlier, Kurt Pritz, who was to come and present today, has fallen ill, but we've asked other staff to please come and fill in as best they can to cover the material with us. So we have Karen Lentz and Amy Stathos here, and a presentation which they will take us through regarding various issues related to new DTLDs. So with that, I will hand over to Karen, and thank you for filling in.
Okay, can everyone hear me? Okay, thank you very much, Heather, and thank you, GAC members, for providing this time for discussion on the new GTLD program and topics associated with the program. I'm Karen Lentz, and I have Amy Stathos, my colleague, here as well. As Heather mentioned, Kurt was to present this and unfortunately is under the weather and I know would like to be here. And I'm not as much of an expert on all of these topics, but we'll do the best I can to provide a short update on each of these to support your discussions on these topics through the week. So next slide. The agenda, we have about eight topics, and the idea was to give a bit of an overview of where we are on each of these rather than go into detail, but certainly we can try to manage the time as best we can to cover each of these things. So I will dive in. Oh, next slide. Okay. The first topic is what's called defensive GTLD applications. If you recall from the discussions in the development of the GTLD program, it has been designed with protections for certain interests and rights. And those include the objection and dispute resolution process that covers formal objections that can be filed on specified grounds. It also includes the existence of an independent objector who is able to file formal objections to applications that have been received, and also the GAC early warning and GAC advice processes that were developed to be part of the program. There's been comment in the last months about a need that people felt and were expressing that they needed to apply for GTLDs even if they weren't necessarily interested in operating one, merely to protect some interest or right that they had. And we've titled those defensive applications. So our response to this has been to open a public comment period that has been open, and we have been receiving comment on the sources of the perception, some of the reasons that groups or entities feel that they do need to submit a GTLD application, and then some steps that could be taken to address that perception. There's also a session at this meeting on Thursday that is planned for further discussion of those issues. Next slide. Okay, on root zone scaling, this was also something that we had a number of discussions on as we were developing the new GTLD program, including with the GAC. When we last met in Dakar, as I recall, the GAC was expressing a need for some additional informational documentation on the root zone scaling topic specifically, looking for materials that can be taken back and circulated within the various governments, and that would include some of the citations and explanation of the data and studies that have been done in this area. So that report has been compiled to better address the needs that were raised by the GAC. There is, I think, a preview copy can be made available to GAC members, estimating within a couple of weeks. I'm not sure exactly the status of the document itself, but I know that it's close to being prepared and that can be available for the GAC. Next slide. Okay, batching. This has been a topic of discussion throughout. In the event that significantly more than about 500 applications are received, it could be necessary to process them in batches to be able to preserve the quality of the evaluation and the consistency of the evaluation of those groups. And so there's been a need to come up with a batching selection process that will be objective and efficient and will be able to help us process that number of applications as quickly as possible without sacrificing the quality. Next slide. So some of the criteria that were established for what kind of batching selection process we could create were it should encompass an applicant's batching preference. So there should be an opt-in or opt-out mechanism. Some applicants might have a great desire to be early or one of the earliest. For others, that might not be as important. So that's one of the expectations that was built in. Also, that the process should be a non-random based selection process, and that there should be a geographic diversity accounted for in the results so that there wasn't an even distribution among the regions. Next. This was something I believe was also discussed in the last meeting, that in the event that there is a large volume of applications that the GAC had concerns or questions about how they would be able to complete the early warning process, the estimated timeframes and process that is in the applicant guidebook has a 60-day period for the early warnings coinciding with the application comment period. And of course, it would be encouraged that's met if possible. But we also recognize that the number of applications is unknown. The time that will be required for the GAC to review that application information and go through the GAC processes is also unknown. And so if the application volume is such that batching is required, it's expected that we would be flexible to allow sufficient time for the GAC review and processes to take place in that. Next slide. And I realize just on the topic of batching. I thought I missed a slide, but I did talk about it. applicant support program. This is having to do with mechanisms of support from applications from developing countries or other instances where support might be needed of various forms for an application. There are a few elements to this program, and this has been launched. The applicant support program is available, has been available since January 12th when the application process opened. And the elements of that include a directory for third-party pro bono services. So on ICANN's website, there is a place for prospective applicants to list themselves as seeking support, and there's also a directory that lists parties who are willing to provide support of various types. That includes translation, technical assistance, various types of support. There's also the fee reductions for selected applicants. There is a separate application for financial support of that type, that is part of the program. That comes from the applicant support fund, of which the board allocated $2 million, the processes for working out that mechanism for the selected applicants is being worked out. The information on the applicant support program has been published. There is a dedicated web page, a fact sheet that provides the basic information on this program, and then also the financial support handbook, which details how to go about applying for the financial support and the criteria that are used to select applicants for support. There's also been an awareness campaign recently to heighten awareness of the opportunity to apply for financial support, and that's included initiatives in a number of regions in a few different mediums. So, okay, next slide. Okay, thank you. With regard to the applicant support program, this is one of the things that's happening now is that we're recruiting volunteers to be part of the support applicant review panel, or SARP. That period is open through the end of March. We are seeking individuals from the community and individuals that may have expertise in areas of funding or related areas. The number of panelists selected will be based on the number of applications received, and it's expected that the panel will be selected in collaboration with the Joint Applicant Support Working Group. Next slide. Okay, early warning process. As I understand it, the GAC had developed a set of requirements for what they would like to see in the process and system that would be used for early warnings. And some of those were easy access or ready access to the application data, a process and a system that would facilitate the discussion of issues among the GAC, and also could be used to facilitate the drafting of an early warning, and then once the early warning had been submitted, to be able to track what happened, the events that happened after that was sent. Next slide. So we have developed a system based on the GAC wiki that can be used for early warnings that is intended to be able to meet these requirements. The application data is included. It's in such a way that it can be filtered or sorted by certain ways, by string, by type of application, et cetera. It's a system that would only be accessible to GAC members so that the early warnings or the applications can be discussed and commented upon through the GAC discussion process. And then there's an early warning template that can be tracked altogether from the initiation of it to the time that it's completed. Okay, cross ownership was another topic that was raised. This is just to review the status quo. In November 2010, the board directed that cross-ownership would be permitted for new GTLDs. That was decided at the same time that the registry code of conduct was put in place to guard against certain concerns with the cross-ownership. Again, is for the new GTLD space. It provided that existing registries could request a contract amendment that would allow them to vertically integrate. And there's also some restrictions possible, and possibly a referral to competition authorities where the circumstances would dictate that would be appropriate. Next slide. So the, current registries may request removal of restrictions in their agreement for new GTLDs or for existing TLDs other than their own, or the ones that they operate. The process for this includes a competition review, It does also include the option to refer a particular case to a competition authority if that seems appropriate. And then there's a 90-day time period envisioned where in the absence of a response from the relevant authority, we would either allow a contract revision or continue to wait for a response depending on the particular case and what the circumstances were. Next slide. So this the above process does not provide for existing registries to be able to remove the cross ownership restrictions for their own TLDs or the TLDs that they operate currently. So that process for that is under development currently. To develop that, we have engaged competition authorities. It seems the best way to accommodate that would be to amend the approved process for requesting removal of the restrictions in other cases. We've also been seeking the registry's input in the development of that process, and that's something that will be posted for public comment. Okay, this is looking at the status of the application process since the application window did open on January 12th. A couple of highlights as to what's happened since then. The TLD application system currently has 207 registered users. That's a statistic that we've been tracking and publishing on the website. We've had 99.99% uptime of the system since the launch. We've also continued to maintain customer service operations. There have been quite a number of inquiries, 6,900, since the launch of the Customer Service Center in November. And they continually field questions from applicants on how to use the system or questions concerning clarification of the application. Those queries are used as well to enhance the materials that are available on the website. So FAQs, frequently asked questions, are updated. Knowledge base operations or articles are provided on topics where there seem to be a lot of questions. And the average resolution time for the queries through the CSC is about 1.6 days. We've also recently posted an advisory concerning the March 29th date. That's the last date as provided in the guidebook for new users to register and TAST in the application system. So there was an advisory posted at the end of February concerning that, and there's quite a bit of detail in that about how that date affects applicants in different types of circumstances. Next slide. The second application round was also a topic that was raised. The GTLD program was built on the GNSO policy advice, which recommended that applications should initially be processed in rounds until there was a clear sense of demand and a steady state could be considered. So we followed that advice by implementing the program in rounds. We've also committed to reviewing several elements of the first application round to look at what the results were. The board considered, in response to questions and inquiries about the second round, they passed a resolution in February reaffirming the commitment of ICANN to offering a second round as expeditiously as possible, given the number of reviews and the consideration and analysis that needs to take place before a second round can begin. So the board resolution directed that we would develop a work plan to provide some detail to the community about the specific work required and how that would take place so that the community can also be involved in determining the appropriate steps that need to be taken between the close of the first round and the opening of the second. trademark clearinghouse, which we are in the middle of implementing. This was one of the rights protection initiatives that was developed as part of the new GTLD program discussions. The clearinghouse is envisioned as a repository of authenticated rights data that can be used by registries to support the sunrise periods and the trademark claim services that are required for all new GTLDs. So the clearinghouse data is expected to be used to support those services. Implementation is in progress for that. We have been working according to a project plan that calls for the launch of operations in around September, October of this year. Next slide. Looking at this project, there are essentially two tracks of work to it. One is the selection of one or more providers to operate the clearinghouse services and perform those functions. And the other is the development of the supporting processes that the clearinghouse would use. So these concern how the clearinghouse interacts with the registries and registrars at these stages in the process, and how the claims service and sunrise periods actually get worked out in terms of the details of communications and interactions between those parties. Next slide. In terms of the provider selection, we published a request for information in October and received several submissions to that, had discussions with a number of the candidates, and we're currently completing the selection process for that. Next slide. In terms of the process development, we handled this by forming the Implementation Assistance Group, or IAG, in November. That was an announcement. It was an open group to anyone who was interested. We received about 55 expressions of interest or volunteers from people who wanted to be involved in that group from a number of places around the world. So since November through just this week, we've held 13 conference calls, rotating according to the time zone, that allows us to discuss the implementation details and receive advice from registries, from registrars, from trademark holders, and from others who are interested in this. The process also featured written submissions as well on the issues, so not everyone was on every call, but we did receive written submissions as well. The set of issues considered included both business process type things, looking at, for example, the standards for authentication of a trademark that the clearinghouse would use, and then it also considered the technical implementation issues, such as what types of protocols would be used to communicate between the clearinghouse and the registries, for example. So where we are now is in, now that we've completed the cycle of calls and issues, is in compiling the sum of the input, completing the analysis to be able to create a model for operation of the clearinghouse. And we expect to be able to provide the requirements for that by the end of this month. The next slide. And that's the end. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that, Karen. That was a lot of material, quite a few topics that we have on the table. So I'll ask that we go back to the beginning of the presentation and we take each of the topics in turn, allowing for questions so that we have an opportunity to raise specific items under each of these headers. So I think defensive registrations might be the first topic. There we are. So with regard to defensive GTLD applications, this is something that emerged as a possibility in the current round where some applicants may actually be applying for defensive purposes only. ICANN has issued a public comment on this to seek comments from the community about how this might be addressed and what views there may be in the community. So from a GAC perspective, are there questions or things that we would like to raise with staff on this topic? Germany, please.
Yes, thank you. Hello, everybody. This is my first time that I take the floor today. Yes, this question of defensive registration on the top level is, I think, quite an important issue, because in the past, I think most of the GAC colleagues did not consider that something like defensive registration on a top level basis. When we talked on defensive registrations, we thought that it might happen on the second level. But yes, that there are also some applicants that really at the moment do not need a new GDLE, but they apply for because they don't want this GDLE to be misused by others. That's a development we should take very serious, and we should consider what kind of solutions are for this specific applications, what kind of solutions we find for this this discussion. And I wonder whether that's sufficient, what you mentioned in your points here, and whether there are not further possibilities to get this issue resolved.
Thank you, Germany. Would anyone else like to comment? EU Commission, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Andrea Glorioso from the European Commission. Simply to point out that our internal consultations with a number of parties that are planning to apply for new GTLDs highlighted that all the alternative instruments that are mentioned there, the objection, the dispute resolution process, independent objector, and GAC early warning advice, fell short of what these other parties feel are their need to apply for defensive registration. I will put it another way. There are organizations out there that will apply for defensive registration because that's the only way in which they can be sure, or they think they can be sure, to protect their rights. So I guess that is something that ICANN staff, in addressing the public consultation, the results of the public consultation, should probably consider. And on the public consultation, I'm sure it's on the website somewhere, but I would appreciate if ICANN staff, whom, by the way, I thank very much for giving this presentation, could provide us with a date by which the results of that public consultation will be available. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you want to comment on the date, Karen, before I move to the next speaker?
Thank you. The reply period for the comment period is open, I believe, until March 31st. There's a discussion session at this meeting, but I wouldn't want to speculate on when what the results will be of those processes. But certainly everyone's very aware that the application period is going on now, and so in terms of how this is resolved, it's certainly time is an important part of that.
Denmark, please.
I decline. It was about the date as well.
Okay. Perhaps we can move to the next topic. So on the topic of root zone scaling and the report that was requested before the round was to open, are there any questions or comments? Netherlands, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair. You have put it in this way. I think we have quite, strong understanding and commitment from the board, commitment to have some kind of report before the launch. So I understand these are very hectic times for ICANN staff, but I wonder what is the reason that we don't have yet this report, which we, I think, already had a kind of commitment well before, I think, in our Brussels meeting already a year ago. So please, if there are reasons why this is not there, we have signaled this also to the chair already around the launch time, I think about 20 January. But I think we need it very soon, and because things are very much related to this report. Also, the way we're going to deal with the second round, for example. So it's, I think, very important, and I speak on behalf, I think, many members, that we have a kind of indication, or let's say a fixed date when we can get such a report. Thank you.
EU Commission.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Andrea Glorioso from the European Commission. Just to reiterate and reinforce the point made by Netherlands, and perhaps to friendly correct the Netherlands, we didn't have a kind of a commitment. We had a very clear commitment from the board to provide this report before the launch. Therefore, I must say it is disappointing to know that we still don't have this report. We would be very happy to receive preview copies as long as they are distributed to all the GAC members and not, as I think I understood, verbally to GAC members to request it. Either all the GAC members receive it or otherwise they shouldn't, it wouldn't be fair. However, let me point out that what we want to receive is something that has the blessing and the formal support of ICANN and of the board and the staff. We cannot receive a preview copy and then not know what is the status of this report. So we would rather wait for a reasonable short, very short amount of time and get the final report than having a preview, the status of which we are not really sure about. Thank you.
Thank you for that. This is also something that I believe we have on the agenda for the meeting with the board, so we'll have an opportunity then to raise it with them. Okay, I think we can move to the next topic, please. With regard to batching, are there any questions or comments from colleagues? Italy and United States.
Okay, we learned that the number of those presenting applications is 207. And of course, we know also that a single organization could present up to 50 proposals. So I agree on the fact that you don't know yet don't have a preview of the number of applicants, but you should at least have a clear idea if there will be a need of the batches or not. And you provided to us three possible variations for selecting these batches. My point is that these variations are proposed to us in order us to declare what we prefer, or is something that the board is evaluating with the idea of proposing one single solution for the problem. In any case, we are, of course, a little bit preoccupied if the number of the applications will be very high, then there is also the sequence of the batches and the timing between one and the other that we would like to know, because there is the risk that the second a call for new GTLDs will take several years before being possible. So we would like to have some more evaluation of this kind of numbers, and also considering that in the batches, in a previous meeting, you said that ICANN should be in condition to sign 250 contracts per year, and of course these numbers are on one side worrying, on the other side also for the route stability then maybe this is a number that is feasible, but the GAC also recommended, if you remember, that after the closure of one call, there should be an evaluation of how the root server behaved before starting a second one. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Italy. Then I have United States and Australia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just had a couple of questions as to where things stand on the selection process that will be used. So there's a very helpful reference to the fact that you are considering one, but the fact that we don't know what it would be just yet suggests to me that that is still under some debate and deliberation. So if you could confirm that that is the case. And then my question would be, whatever proposal might be developed, would that be put out for comment such that the community could provide some insight as to whether they think that is a workable solution or whether there could be some alternatives? Because that might be very helpful since it would include all of the interested parties to weigh in. With regard to if there have to be several sort of batches, we certainly appreciate that you understand that you'll have to be flexible vis-a-vis the GAC. We have identified a potential problem that we wanted to share with you, which is if the batching actually runs consecutively in a shorter timeline than the current 60 days. Most GAC, if not all of us, I think would really struggle. The idea of having 60 days for 500 is already challenging because all of us have to, in fact, initiate fairly extensive consultation and coordination processes in national capitals. So if there is to be any overlap or a start of a second batch before the 60 days are up, I think we would have a problem. So it would be useful to sort of get an understanding of what the mechanism would be and when it would kick in and how we can manage. Because quite candidly, even the consecutive 60-day review periods of 500 at a time going to be very challenging for governments. So we did want to express some hesitation that there should not be any, ideally there would not be any overlap. Thank you.
Thank you, United States. Karen, would you like to respond to some of those questions?
Sure, thank you. In terms of establishing the actual batching selection process, the board discussion on this provided the directions that were on one of the slides, that it should be, you know, it should allow for an opt-in, opt-out. It should be not random, and it should take into account geographic diversity. The resolution asked us to provide some indication of that in the applicant guidebook and then to return to the board with implementation details. Which they would then look at. So I believe that is discussion is to take place at this meeting, but it will depend what the board depend on their consideration. What is selected?
Thank you, Karen. I have Australia next.
Thank you, and thanks for this presentation. My question is actually to go back a step prior, to the comment, to the US comments, which I think, if I understood, assumed that if there was batching for ICANN's administrative purposes, that we would be allowed batching for the GAC. So if ICANN was to look at 500 applications at a time, the GAC would... early warning process would look at those 500 and no more until the next batch started. And I was just actually seeking some confirmation that that was actually the case. Your slide said something about understand that the GAC will need sufficient time. It wasn't clear to me from that whether the GAC would be in a similar batching arrangement or whether the GAC's 60 days might just be extended but for the whole bunch. So if I could get some confirmation, that would be excellent. Thank you.
Karen?
So, the slide is not really meant to to limit or to prescribe a certain process. It's more, to indicate the flexibility that we have in not imposing or intend to have in not imposing, timelines on the GAC that are problematic. I've heard the comments that were expressed concerning, any overlap and the question from you as well that I'll take back. But, I think the details are being worked out and we'll need to continue to discuss with you, with the GAC. So I've noted the feedback today. Thanks.
Thank you, Karen. I have Germany next.
Yes, thank you. My question was going along with the question of the US, because I also had some question mark in respect of the methods for choosing for batching. I understand these three general principles, which I could go along with. I don't think that they are too controversial, but I wonder when does ICANN consider to have a final decision how this batching will take place, because I think time is running out and we are, from the GAC side, involved in this issue. And the question whether we have also have to participate to some extent in this batching, I think it is very, very urgent for us to know when this decision may take place. Thank you.
Thank you, Germany. Are there any further questions or comments? EU Commission, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will not reiterate and express the points made by my colleagues before. We do need better information and formal information on the timing that we're talking about here. If you could just move a slide ahead. Another one, thank you. Yeah, I'm just a bit doubtful. I would like a clarification on the third bullet there, which was also mentioned by Germany and others. If application volume requires batching, we will be flexible to allow sufficient time for GAC review and processes. Who is the we there? I mean, is this a formal position of the ICANN board? Is this a view of ICANN staff? Is this a formal view? Is this, because this is a slide, and as far as I know, what is really to be referred to is the applicant guidebook. And there we have a date of 60 days, which, by the way, I don't know whether it's working days, calendar days, or whatever, but there is a number in there. So I would like a clarification here. What is the status of this slide? Who is the we, and which form will this flexibility actually be embedded into? Will it be a change to the applicant guidebook, or what?
Thank you for that comment. It's clear that the GAC is seeking clarification on how that decision will be made and when, that allows us to plan accordingly. I have Australia next, and then let's move to the next topic. Okay, so Australia has declined to comment. Let's move to the next, please. Applicant Support Program. Brazil, please.
Thank you, Chair. My question is a little bit rhetorical, because I'm quite sure that the staff of ICANN would not have this kind of response, but the fee reductions in the applicant support fund will be considered by whom? Who will be the responsible for this kind of definitions? And I think it depends, reiterating, the Commission and the Netherlands demands on a very clear and in advance information to the GAC, because there are a lot of it's just an example. There's a lot of open information that would drive our work here in the GAC. Germany also, I think, has put this. Has reiterated the need of information. This is just another example, and I think the next topics will raise more examples on how we need information to even to start to discuss internally some questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Brazil. Kenya.
Yeah, I'd like to thank ICANN staff for this presentation. One question regarding the SARP. You mentioned somewhere that it's going to depend on the number of applicants that are received. What if there are none? We have had some concerns regarding the outreach efforts and to what extent it has had an impact in developing countries and in areas where applicant support will be required. So what if there are no applications? Does that mean that the SARP is not going to be formed? Second question is regarding the foundation. You mentioned something about fundraising, but without a foundation in place, how is that going to work out? In terms of, I don't think, does ICANN have that capacity and skill to manage a fund, a fund similar to that, and how is that going to work out really in time for it to offer the support that is required? Thank you.
Thank you for that, Kenya. Are there any other questions or comments? Switzerland, please.
Thank you. First of all, I think it is very good that such an applicant support is available. The GAC has expressed several times that we think it's important that there will be applications from all regions. We are just slightly confused or worried. There are still a lot of things that are not yet set up or not clear. And knowing that applicants from developing countries will have to hand in their applications in 1 month's time, and it's probably quite important for them to know to what extent they will receive support, how much and where and how. How do you make sure or that this thing actually works, that they get the information and the support they need in time, meaning that allows them that they can actually work out their applications before the 12th of April? This is not really clear to me from the information I got. Thank you.
Please, Karen.
So thank you for both of those comments. If I can, I'll go back and try to be a little more clear. And I, unfortunately, I'm not the expert on the applicant support program. So I will tell you as much as I know. The fee reductions are in place in terms of, there is a financial support handbook. There is an application form that tells applicants how to apply for support. There are criteria published that determine how applicants will be selected for support out of the number that may apply. What's not, and again, the $2 million allocated by the board is that's been decided and that's occurred. What hasn't occurred is the mechanism for how funds get transferred in the transaction. So, how the it's more of the internal processes, I guess, that are not, that at least as far as I understand, are not detailed to that level. But in terms of the applicants who are seeking support being able to apply and request it, that information is available now. And just to respond to the question on the SARP, if I understood it, was what the numbers are and how they relate to the number of applications for support, which is really just to say, rather than saying now we're going to have a panel of 10 or 20 or 50, or, without knowing how what the volume, actually is, it's more intended to be driven by. The type of process and the type of resources that we determine are needed once we have the applications.
Thank you, Karen. I have Sri Lanka next.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I thank the ICANN staff for that excellent presentation and update, and would like to echo the sentiments expressed by Kenya in terms of the outreach efforts undertaken in relation to this program. I'm not too aware of the outreach efforts that have been undertaken, especially in the South Asian region, which information seems to be lacking in this area. I'm particularly mindful of the fact that many of the South Asian country chambers are not even aware that new GTLDs are beginning to happen. So I just want to clarify whether within this next few weeks or the remaining period, what outreach plans are being envisaged. And my second question is, thank you very much in a way that you gave an update on the number of new GTLD potential applications that are coming out. You said something in the range of 407 or 207, right? Somewhere around there. But just want to know whether you have an estimation of what percentage of those applications are coming from developing countries. Thank you.
Thank you. Karen, please.
Thank you. Just to clarify on that question, the statistic that we publish is, which was 207 that I gave, is the number of registered users in the application system, and that's something that we began publishing quite early. We also indicated at that time that we would not be publishing any further statistical or other application data until all of the until the period is closed, but it will be published subsequent to that.
Thank you, Karen. So we have a growing list of questions for clarification about how certain aspects are going to be implemented and around the timing. So I hope that these questions will be conveyed and answered as quickly as is possible. So can we move to the next topic, please? So early warning process. Are there any questions or comments for staff on this topic, Australia?
Thank you, Chair. Two questions, I think. I'll start with a comment. Thanks for the presentation, and also thanks to ICANN staff who have been assisting the GAC to implement the early warning portal. I've been helping the GAC get this up and running, and just wanted to register appreciation for staff's hard work on this. A couple of questions which came out of a discussion which some of us had this morning in a capacity building session we held before this, relating, I guess, to the separate to the sort of information and process management portal which is being put together for the GAC surrounding processes, and they're questions which go to the information which the GAC will have available to it to us to come to decisions on early warnings. So the first is in a discussion with staff which I had earlier last week, I was advised that ICANN is not intending to translate strings into other languages. And I'm just seeking clarification that is actually the case. I think if the strings are not translated into other languages or other scripts, this will have an implication for the GAC's ability to assess the full range of potential applications. And the second question is, I understand that ICANN is doing a number of due diligence and background checks on applicants as required under the applicant guidebook. The question is, will that information be available for the GAC for use in its early warning process? And if not, will it become public at some later stage so the GAC can take it into account when considering whether to issue advice? So these are sort of the checks, if there is criminal background checks and the like, which will be would be very useful information for the GAC to have in this context.
Thank you, Australia. Are there any other questions or comments on early warning? Okay, can we move to the next topic? Cross-ownership registries and registrars. Would colleagues like to raise an issue? EU Commission, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We are looking forward to seeing the results of the reflection, which, if I understand correctly, ICANN is conducting on the process that we'll be following, will be posted for public comments. I need to point out that the third bullet there concerning the possible referral to competition authorities, just for everybody to be on the same page, competition authorities will keep the possibility to intervene in any case, whether a particular case is referred to them or not. So this is something to, I think that especially the community of applicants, et cetera, they must be made absolutely clear on this point so that there are no misunderstandings, and not all of them are competition lawyers, so this is something that might escape their attention. I'm also a bit unsure about that deadline of 90 days, which I think is in the following slides, because it seems to me that after 90 days, ICANN can do whatever it wants, which therefore doesn't make it very clear to me what the deadline is about, because after 90 days, ICANN can either take a decision or can take more time to take a decision or can be in the request to make an integration. So what's the purpose of having those 90 days anyway? This is not clear to me. And last not least, I need to correct the representative of ICANN staff. ICANN did not engage competition authorities, certainly not the European Commission in its capacity as the competition authority for the European single market. It was, in fact, the Commission that engaged ICANN. We sent two letters, one on the 17th of June 2011, which was replied to, not to our satisfaction, and one on the 19th of January 2012, to which we are still awaiting a reply. So the information flow went the opposite direction. This is for the record and for information of GAC members and other persons in the room. Thank you.
Amy, please. Thank you.
Yes, so just to comment on the, in response to the 90-day issue, that is part of the process that's currently in place for the existing registries to request lifting. The 90 days is a time point where we will wait for 90 days to see if there is any response from the applicable competition authority. At that time, under the process, ICANN can then proceed to making any contract amendments that are deemed appropriate or, in fact, wait longer until the competition authority may have additional time to respond if they choose to. So you're right, it is a choice, but there is an option for us, for the ICANN, to wait under the existing process. It may not necessarily be the same process that we come in, the new process, for folks who may be seeking with removal of restrictions on their own TLDs, but the current process allows for that option.
Thank you, Amy. Can we move to the next topic then, please? Amy would like to add further comment.
Sorry, just one more point I'd like to make, that we, in fact, did send a response today to Mr. DeGraff and Ms. McCollum. So,
EU Commission, please.
Thank you to Amy, I believe, for the answers, to ICANN staff for the answers. I'm still not clear why you have that 90 days process, because if in any case, you know, quite frankly, as you're very well aware, imagine, competition authorities may decide to intervene after 90 days. So if you take a decision before those 90 days, that doesn't mean anything at all for whomever has asked that question. But I get your point, and I will relay that information. On the response to our letter, we are grateful for that response, but I must point out that this is the second time that we receive a response to a letter that we sent months ago, exactly on the day of a meeting of ICANN. This does not allow us to have a proper discussion. This is, I must say, very clearly, this is very disappointing and very unfortunate. Thank you.
Thank you, EU Commission. Okay, let's move to the next topic. Okay, so we received an update as part of this presentation regarding the current application process underway and some statistics for us. Did anyone want to ask any questions or comment in relation to what's been presented on this topic? No? Okay. This is clear. Let's move to the next then, please. Regarding the second application round to follow the current process, are there any requests from GAC members to comment on this? Denmark, please.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. I would like to know if you can tell us when you expect to come back with a date for the second round and the work plan for the evaluation process. I think that all the questions here today reflects that governments need clear answers to these questions in order to plan our national processes. So I hope that we can get some specific answers very soon. Thank you.
Sweden, please.
Thank you very much. And I also would like to say thank you to ICANN staff for giving this presentation and trying to clear out some of the questions we have. And I just want to echo what my Danish colleague was saying and of course, a lot of other interventions during this session, that I think it's very important that we get answers for our questions and certainly before getting into planning in second round. And what I think I said in another meeting we had, I said it, we're also actually expecting some kind of evaluation through all this, both the route scalability, we have, pretty much a bunch of other things that came up during this meeting, so that is absolutely a strong expectation from our side. Thank you.
Thank you, Sweden. This is clear. Okay, next topic, please. Switzerland.
Excuse me, I have a question. While talking to several people who are involved in working out or thinking whether they should or could or would have to work out applications, there is a growing, let's say, hyperactivity and panic that we kind of take note of. And I hear several people in the community who tend to come to the conclusion that it might be a wise decision to maybe not start a second application round, but to announce maybe a second round of the third round or a second part of the third round in a reasonable time, because the situation as it is now is that probably a large number of applications, some of them are defensive, are being worked out in a very short time under big time pressure. All the service providers are working day and night, at least those that we know. And some people think that there would be a relief in this problem if people would know when the second round or when a second part of a first round would take place. That would help people to calculate their risks of being part or not being part in the first round. Are there some reflections on this problem that much of many things are being done in a very late stage with problematic risk and that people have difficulties in deciding whether they should or have to or should be part of a first round or whether they can kind of quietly work out their applications for a second round? Thank you.
Thank you, Switzerland. Karen, did you want to reply?
Yes, thank you, and thank you for the points that have been made. I just wanted to clarify a few things in case they weren't clear. One is that I believe in the board resolution, part of their rationale discussed the fact that people were anxious and looking for a date, but it was actually very difficult to provide a date in advance or to establish one, knowing at this stage that we don't know the numbers involved in the first application round and that we have, in fact, committed to do reviews and evaluations on a number of things. So in case it's not clear, that we're absolutely committed to doing all of the reviews and evaluations that have been agreed before a second round would commence. And that's the intention of the work plan, is to detail those steps so that there can be, if not a date, at least some clarity on the process and the steps that will be taken to lead to that possibility. So thank you for the comments.
Karen, with regard to that series of events, is that available now? Is that something that the GAC could receive? Or is it more that's what's anticipated that will be developed?
Yes, the work plan I don't believe is available now. It's something that the board directed staff to create and that we're in the midst of doing.
Okay, thank you. So something is being developed. Rather than focusing on dates, it's focusing on steps to be accomplished. So I hope that clarifies it a bit. So Trademark Clearinghouse, which I think is our last topic for the break. My apologies. Yes, EU Commission.
No problem, Madam Chair. But I just need a clarification on this, because if there is a first round and a second round, and if there is an expectation that there will be an evaluation of the results of the first round before opening the second round, then I would imagine that there is a need to have a formal definition of when is the closure of the first round. Does that definition exist? When would the first round actually end? When all the applications, when all the strings that have been applied for have been allocated, which may take quite an amount of time? Is there some other idea? Because if you don't clarify that, then we will never have clarity on the timing of an evaluation, assuming there will be an evaluation, which the Commission certainly hopes. I hope my question was clear enough, so I would appreciate a clarification on that. Thanks.
Thank you for the additional question. Brazil, please.
My question is related a little bit with the trademark, but it's not directly. I have received a request of information that I couldn't help. A very famous capital in Brazil called us asking if they could just reserve their names because they don't want to buy or to launch a domain right now, but they don't want to have the capital name used in a domain in the next future, because maybe in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, they want to do it. Sorry for the lack of information, I don't know. What would be the case, what would be the solution for this case? And I think the same question would be applied for a company that, let's say, a company that don't want to launch a domain name right now, but would like to launch it in 3 years, 5 years, or 10 years, I don't know. Thank you.
Thank you, Brazil. If I understand correctly, this is in relation to defensive registrations, applications that are made perhaps for the future, because of concerns about the current round being underway. Okay. So, Trademark Clearinghouse then. UK, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. I'm grateful to Karen for the staff update on progress here. There's a lot of important work in train, clearly. With regard to the prospective launch of the clearinghouse, well, we would like very much to receive confirmation of that as soon as it becomes available, the planning for that, and also the communication program, really, for populating the database. What is the thinking about that? That's promoting awareness is obviously a key feature to the successful implementation of the clearinghouse. So the communication program needs to be carefully thought through on a global basis. The selection of the provider, good to hear that you're near completion of the process. Again, it'll be important for us to be informed of the decision, clearly the neutrality of the provider is a key point that we are all very mindful of. So an update on that would be appreciated. You talked about the analysis being undertaken. I was hoping we might have something to look at this meeting. So you mentioned prospectively the end of the month. My request, I haven't discussed this with colleagues, of course. My request would be that perhaps you could formulate a paper for providing to the GAC chair, and then that the whole of the committee can have a look at the issues and the solutions and any emerging problems that might have been identified and the solutions afforded to them that we are not aware of, problems that we are not aware of with regard to putting these very important, this very important element in the framework of rights protection into place. Thanks.
Thank you, UK. United States?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Mark, for covering some of the issues that I was going to flag. And apologies, Chair, and to our ICANN staff colleagues, thank you again. On our agenda, we identify this as not just the Trademark Clearinghouse, but rights protection and. So I wanted to kind of just put something out there for you all to know. Staff will probably recall, I hope my colleagues will recall, that in January my agency sent a letter to ICANN on a number of issues. And in particular, we noted that it was our intention, in collaboration with domestic constituents and GAC colleagues around the table, that we believed once we could see the list of proposed strings, that we would then evaluate whether additional protections might be needed at the second level. So I just wanted to flag that again. That is a firm intention on our part. And I wanted to socialize in a proposal that I understand is making the rounds. I don't have a hard copy in front of me, but I thought it was worth flagging at this particular moment in time. There are some sectors that consider themselves to be more vulnerable than others to counterfeiting, illegal activity, and fraud. And I understand there are some very concrete proposals that are now being developed and advanced for some enhanced safeguards at the second level. So I've been made aware of it, and I will do my best to sort of make sure that the drafters can share that with us, because I think we would all find that very interesting. We all have those sectors in our economies, and I think it would be important. This is our last subject, yes, if I recall. Well, again, and apologies to the chair. Our list contained a few other issues, and if you had explained why we weren't covering them at the outset, my apologies. The other issues are IOC Red Cross and the changes to the GAC text on objections by the staff after the Dakar meeting. So I did kind of want to flag those, and then finally to see whether we did get a commitment to get answers to the questions on the early warning that I believe Peter put out there. So thank you.
Thank you, United States. I understand that the presentation today does not include those two items. So that's why they haven't been covered. However, if there are questions we would like to put to add to our growing list of questions on those topics, then we can do that. The questions also might be self-evident, but Egypt, I see you requesting the floor, please.
Thank you. And very quickly, I'm sorry to take you back to the point raised by Thomas earlier on a second round. Having discussed today during the morning session the affirmation of commitments and the reviews mandated by the affirmation of commitments, I mean, it already says that there is a review that should be conducted 1 year from the operation of the new GTLDs and another one 2 years after. So, I mean, those might be somehow milestones for when a second round be. I mean, can a second round be done before the first review has taken place, or between the first and the second, I mean, because those probably are to assess the whole process before getting into another one.
Thank you, Egypt. I think it's clear that, that a work plan would need to include consideration of that. Did you have a comment to that, Karen? Okay. With that, I think we can thank staff for stepping in this instance in Kurt's absence. And what I will suggest now is that we move to break. We're a bit late, but that's okay. And let's try to convene again in the GAC at around 4:30, and then we will continue to discuss GTLDs. So thanks again to staff, and see you back in the room at 4:30.